Well, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, welcome to it. 7:08 here on a Monday morning. Hope you had a nice weekend. I thought we delivered well on the weather forecast. Huh? It was supposed to be kind of crappy yesterday. Turned out to be a pretty nice day. Turned out to be a pretty nice weekend, actually. And this week looks really nice after today. Today looks kind of wet. Off and on showers throughout the day today, but then starting tomorrow, a fair bit of sunshine for tomorrow and Wednesday, and then a lot of sunshine from Thursday right through the weekend. So looks good as we head toward, I guess, Friday is the first day of October, believe it or not. As we wake up this morning, though, it is a somewhat chilly, 11 degrees. Anybody that wears, like I do, sandals, feet get a little bit cold.
You got to go with the socks. Right? Socks and sandals.
Never.
I just absolutely love it. Mirror thinks it's just terrible. And as you mentioned, October, JR, I just have to get a quick story out of the way that's so funny. My first scouting mission back in the day was during one of the lockouts. And Keith Elaine, who coaches at Yale, we were going to go to Germany to scout one of the goaltenders we had drafted. And I had not traveled to Europe at that point. It was early 90s. And so I'm all excited about the trip. I'm all packed. I even packed us food for the plane. I don't know why. And then I realized, yeah, I know. I don't know why, Jerry.
Right,
I was in my early 20s. I was just so pumped to go with Keith. And it was going to be during Oktoberfest. So we're going to go to games. We're going to Oktoberfest. And then he shows up to pick me up to go to the airport. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. He's like, do you got your passport? I'm like, what do you mean a passport? Do I need a passport? My passport.
So he remembered the food, no, but not the passport.
No, I had my passport, but it had expired.
Oh, no.
Because as a true North American, as many Americans do never get a passport, I'm sure in Europe and everywhere else, they get them when they're born, but it just had a flashback. I was so pumped about Oktoberfest, and it's like, nope, going to have to sit this one out, simmer, and Keith went on his own.
There you go. Yeah. Lessons learned.
Exactly.
Paul Lapolis, head coach of the Red Blacks, is going to join us in about 10 or 12 minutes from now, ahead of their game coming up tomorrow. It's the rare Tuesday night home game versus Edmonton. And we'll find out if the coach spill the beans on who the starting quarterback is going to be. It's going to be, looks like, one of the two raw rookies that the Red Blacks have, because both of their quarterbacks, who, well, neither of whom has performed very well this year, are both injured and not available to play in the game tomorrow. So we'll look forward to that coming up in about 10 minutes.
JR, do you have any idea, like, as a third and fourth quarterback, what you do? Like, do you, because I obviously know in the National Football League, we always talk about first and second team reps. Like, do you actually get a chance to play, or are you just off on the side playing with yourself? Do they get actual reps in a normal
practice?
Time? Yeah, if you're a third and fourth, like, would you really get anything?
Probably not a heck of a lot. Good question for a head coach, really.
Yeah, or are you out with the injured players or doing different things?
I would imagine they would get some, but we'll find out. I already know Paul Lapolis will say it, and I think we talked about this last week with him in relation to the, you know, when will Duck Hodges play? But the whole question of these guys don't, because there was no preseason again this year, no games last year, no preseason this year. They've just never had a chance to play at all. So they're going in tomorrow night, both of these guys, having never thrown a pass in a CFL game.
Well, and he also talked about the roster restrictions, how crazy that is, right? That you're not even active. Like, that could be some cleanup time. You would think that would be a rule they'd be a little more progressive on, especially if it's a Canadian QB.
Yeah, especially if you need to develop quarterbacks. Yeah, anyway, we'll ask the head coach that. He's going to join us in a few minutes from now. All right, we mentioned, and the Sens won. We'll get to that in just a second. Last night, their exhibition opener, but we have a concert announcement to unveil. This was big words on my prize sheet here. Embargoed until 7 a.m. Could not be announced until 7 a.m., but a great Canadian band, Billy Talent, coming to town for a concert next year. The kids of tomorrow don't need today. Remember that, kids. The very intuitive words of Billy Talent. Coming to town for a concert April. I love these concerts we're announcing next year. April 4th, 2022, with Rise Again. Hang on.
Rise Against?
Rise Against, sorry. Yes, April 4th, 2022. Tickets available at TD Place. .ca as of Friday, but we've got a pair of Beat the Box Office tickets to give away right now. If you want to go to the show and you don't want to wait around until Friday to order your tickets, call us right now. Be the 15th caller. 613-750-1200. Star 1200, free call on Bell. We'll make it easy. Caller number 20. Caller number 20 will win a pair of tickets to see Billy Talent. These are Beat the Box Office tickets. He's coming to town. Well, the band is coming to town on April the 4th, 2022. I'm liking the fact we're giving away these concert tickets. That's good.
I love the fact that live music is back again.
Let me know if any Biebs tickets slide across your desk.
Oh, okay.
I'd be very popular at home if I could bring a couple of those by.
Justin Bieber tickets?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't know that he has announced a concert for Ottawa.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, oh, okay. But yeah, no, I thought it had already been announced for March or April, but I am assuming that's one that probably moves quickly, JR, so there's probably no need for any freebies to be slid by.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Okay, and we have tickets, by the way, to Billy Talent to give away all this week here on TSN 1200. Okay, quickly on the Sens, we spent a bunch of time in the first hour talking about the game. We'll get back into it later on this hour, but I want to talk a little bit about the trade. Logan Brown. Is no longer an Ottawa Senator. The trade completed Saturday. No huge surprise. The fact that he gets to go home, back home to St. Louis, because the Blues have acquired him in exchange for Zach Sanford, who is a 27-year-old forward, has spent the past 4 years with the Blues, was part of their Stanley Cup winning team back in 2018-19. 2 years ago, two seasons ago, in the pandemic-shortened season, he had 16 goals in 58 games. He had 10 goals last year in 52 games. He is a left wing. He is 6'3", so he's got some good size. His defensive metrics apparently are pretty good, according to people that study that. But his $2 million salary was too much for the Blues, who were over the cap, so they need to move him out. So he is now the newest member of the Ottawa Senators. What do you think of the deal?
Well, I love it from an Ottawa side. Now, I get a scouting report on him, and it's kind of highs are high, lows are lows, Jared. At the end of the day, he's an NHL player, and they gave up a guy to me. As of right now, fresh starts, I don't think he's an NHL player. Watching him in camp, and hey, this is just a time for a change. And you bring a guy in that, first of all, played with Colin White at Boston College, which, hey, maybe there's a little something going there. I don't know if they played together. Pretty close in point total. You have a player that played in Hershey in the American Hockey League under Coach Mann, who knows very well. And has Pierre Maguire, is there any team in the NHL that he'd be more familiar with than the St. Louis Blues?
Yeah, he spent a lot of time last year doing Blues games.
Hey,
for sure.
Hey, this is, you know, it's not some master plan on salary cap, you know, manipulation. But hey, you had a club that was in a spot and you made your team better, JR, at the end of the day for an asset that I'm just not that afraid of giving up right now. So, hey, are the Ottawa Senators a better team for it? And has Brady Kachuk get signed and you kind of look at the forward group right now? I really like it. Like I said, kind of thinking it through the weekend. What about you?
I would agree. It's going to be interesting how now he's a left wing, and if you project ahead, whenever they do sign Brady Kachuk, so you got your left wing now is Kachuk and Stutzla, whoever you consider to be one or two on that list. Alex Formanton and now Zach Sanford, and you kind of think to yourself, well, how does Nick Paul? What happens with Nick Paul? Well, Nick Paul either slides over to right wing as a left shot, or I always think that he maybe should be a center, and that Colin White should go to the right side. But regardless, that's a pretty deep left wing. Yeah. That's probably about as deep a left wing as you'll find in the National Hockey
League.
That's
as much deep depth as they've had on the left side in a long time, Jer. And we like deep depth.
Oh, love the deep depth.
But I also start to look at it, and the part you don't want to get carried away with, he's on a one-year deal, he's unrestricted. A regular season, it certainly matters, but you start to kind of look at that like in a playoff group. I think to myself, I think at some point they'll slide past Turney. So if you ended up going suddenly with Norris to Pinto and then to Paul and Kastelic in that four spot, boy, you start to get pretty big in a hurry, JR, as far as the bottom six of what we see a lot of NHL playoff teams. So, no, I think if you're a Sens fan, you have to be excited of that group. And, hey, certainly a lot of work to do on the back end, but each little piece that you're doing, like I said, hey, you're a better hockey team. And the other, at the end of the day, it was just, hey, enough. Now, do I think Logan Brown going home is a good thing for him? We'll see how it's handled. I wouldn't be shocked by the end of training camp if he probably ends up on waivers anyway, but we'll see.
That was going to be the issue for the Sens with Logan Brown, because this is the first year you would have to expose him to waivers to be able to send him to Belleville if he wasn't going to make your team. So they have turned, the possibility of losing a guy like that if he didn't make your team and getting claimed for nothing, they have turned that into an asset. And again, this is a team that right now, even with the trade, is still below the salary cap floor. Now, when and if they sign Brady Kachuk or somebody else, I think they're at, according to Cap Friendly, they're $1.1 million below the cap floor. So they can get there with Kachuk or without it, with either signing a Tyler Ennis-type player or something like that, or potentially claiming somebody off waivers. It just will put them slightly over the salary cap floor. Regardless, you've turned it into an NHL player. He's only got, I'm big on anybody in your bottom six. Not a long-term contract commitment. Yeah. You bring him in, he's here for a year. If for some reason it works out, you've got first dibs to bring him back. If it doesn't, or it becomes too rich for whatever reason, then you move on and you've still got the deep depth. So I don't really see, and on the Logan Brown front, again, I watched the scrimmage on Saturday, and I don't want to read too much into a no-contact scrimmage, but it was just kind of a little bit more of the same, where there's the little flashes. He made a nice, a nice pass to set up Thompson for the game winner but there was lots of kind of getting out battled for pucks. And I'm just having a hard time seeing him as a regular NHL player who's going to be able to contribute a whole heck of a lot.
That's exactly, JR. What has happened with him is, first of all, open ice hockey player, but there's lots of them. That's not the way it works in the National Hockey League. He's fine when he's up and running, but what you have is a guy that can't stop and start, and he doesn't have any core strength whatsoever, JR. He's not strong on the puck. And then to the power play, I don't believe in today's National Hockey League the way people deploy lineups. I don't think he's talented enough to say, well, let's just give him a spot and play him on a power play.
Specialist.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just not, that Corbet could do that, but there's no way.
Oh, the specialist isn't me.
But I just don't see it happen. I really think he ends up in the American Hockey League.
Yeah.
You remember Corbet? I mean, there was a Rene Corbet. Do you remember him?
Yes.
Came through the Quebec system in Colorado?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Anyway, it'll be fascinating to see. That was Pierre Dorion's first ever draft pick as general manager. He traded a third rounder to move up one spot to grab Logan Brown, and it just never worked for a whole bunch of reasons that we've all debated for 6 years now. Like, it has become almost a tiresome story, so he's now moved on. We'll see what he can do back in his hometown of St. Louis. I don't know that the Blues team, they've got probably more depth, NHL depth, than Ottawa does. It'd be hard pressed for him to make that team as well.
Yeah, not feeling that he's a Craig Berube style player. Also, to this is maybe one of the reasons why Bob Lowe's, after he made this pick, disappeared in the middle of the night. Because let's also say for Pierre Dorion, hey, they've drafted so well since then, but that was when Mann took over, right? I mean, it was Bob Lowe's.
The following year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Bob Lowe's finished that draft, and then it did surprise me at the time. Only because all the information that they would have had through Windsor, through Ottawa, through everything else. And like I said, and also from a planning standpoint, I don't know if they could still do it. If he does go through waivers, if I was handling him, JR, I'd have him go play in Switzerland. I know there was an opportunity for him. He could really use just a year of just flow hockey.
He needs to play games.
just go and play, and do something like that. I think that would be a benefit. And I'll be honest with you, probably long term, if he's going to make some cash, that's probably where he'll make it.
All right. So we'll put those thoughts to Dave Poulin, our NHL insider, who will start up today just after 8 o'clock. Look forward to that conversation. We'll talk more about Ottawa's win over Winnipeg last night. We'll get into that later on this hour as well. But when we come back, Paul Lapolis, head coach of the Red Blacks. They've got their next home game coming up tomorrow night versus Edmonton. Red Blacks on a 5-game losing streak. They're going to be starting a raw rookie at quarterback. Who will it be? And what do we need to know about those two that will be eligible tomorrow? We'll find out from the head coach next, right here on TSN 1200.
Bahar under center. Goes forward. Oh, I don't think he's got the first down.
Now, it wasn't a clean exchange, which you'd expect from center to sent to quarterback. So a turnover on downs, and the Red Blacks have run out of quarterbacks.
Well, they did last Wednesday, at least. The good thing is, despite injuries to the two starting quarterbacks, there's more guys in the wings, and we're going to see one or both probably tomorrow night as the Red Blacks will play their next game. Coming up, the Edmonton Elks are in town for a 7:30 kickoff at TD Play Stadium. And joining us right now for his regular Monday visit, we welcome on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline head coach Paul Lapolis. Coach, appreciate your time this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Good morning to you. All right, so you've got two raw rookies that you've got to choose from to be your starting quarterback tomorrow night. At this point, have you chosen one or the other? What can you tell us about the two guys?
Yeah, like the two guys, as I said to somebody yesterday, really outstanding college careers. Let's start with Caleb Evans. In college, he threw a lot of touchdowns, was explosive with the ball in his hand, could create with his legs, and, just had a really good career at Louisiana Monroe. And Taron Christian, same thing at South Dakota State. It was somebody I'd kind of seen for the last couple of years and knew he had a really good college career and took his team to the playoffs and deep into the playoffs. And, same thing, high completion rate, TDs, interceptions, ability to use his legs. So, very similar guys that, we get an opportunity to, go out and help us win a game.
Coach, take us behind the scenes before the injuries happen. What would a daily routine be for guys that are 3 and 4 on the depth chart? Like, what kind of reps and practice are they getting?
Great question. So, yeah, we try to make sure they every day they get reps. You know, we try to do most of our stuff, which what we call ones on ones, the offense, starting offense versus starting defense. There is a couple of carded segments where they always get the carded segments, the younger guys. But I also try to get them at least, there's at least 4 reps of, you know, at least 4 reps or 5 reps a day for those two guys to get with our, you know, with, you know, versus the defense running our system. And, you know, besides that, they sit behind the quarterbacks in every period we do, and they mirror exactly what the quarterback's supposed to do, who's actually, let's say we're throwing a curl slide combination to the field, like a read. So all the other quarterbacks are standing behind. They take a drop. They go through their reads. They go ahead and, you know, basically pretend to throw the football also. So we try to do as many mental reps for those guys. And, you know, we have sheets we fill out for what their favorite calls are and everything, and they do that every week, right? So we try to make them prepare like a starter as much as they can, even with limited reps.
Coach, in a perfect world, as you told us last week, these guys would have seen some action in some preseason games, but there weren't any preseason games, and because of the rules, you're not allowed to dress them to be able to play them at the end of blowout games as well. So what are the greatest challenges both of those guys are going to have tomorrow night when the live fire starts?
I think they just got to recognize the speed of the game, right? Like, they just got to, you know, the first couple series, they just got to make sure that the speed of the game, that they understand it's, you know, practice is one thing, but game speed is going to be another, right? If they try to bring pressure, they're not going to stop and run by the quarterback if they get home too quick. So it's going to be a little different. So they just kind of got to weather that storm through the first series or two.
Are we going to see both of them tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, we do have a package to make sure that, Taron will do some of the short yardage and we'll make sure we're trying to get at least, both guys get a little bit of playing time.
But Evans will start at least tomorrow?
I don't know. We'll have a depth chart out sooner or later.
Okay. Right.
I think there's one around here somewhere. All right. We'll figure it out.
Fair enough.
Coach, what's more difficult for the person like myself that never played football and why I watch this? Is it remembering the darn plays? Is it reading the defense? Or is it a combination of both?
For a quarterback, you're saying the hardest thing?
Yeah. Like a guy that's never played, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think just remembering your own things hard enough and then trying to get reads at the same time.
Yeah, I think for quarterbacks in general, the thing that I'm often in awe of is, you know, the quarterback has to, be calling out the cadence as that's happening. He has to try to recognize what the defense is doing as it's moving, and then the snap happens, and then he has to bring his eyes down to pick up the football, and hopefully what he thought the coverage was before the ball snapped is what it is, and then he has to now bring his eyes back up, find his read, figure out where the location is going to be for the receiver of the ball, and then, you know, take his drop accurately, throw the football, you know, even with guys coming around him and he's got to maybe climb the pocket and all that stuff. So, yeah, it just happens fast, and they touch the ball every play, and they have to make great decisions every play. And one of the things we said the other day in our quarterback meeting was you can go 22 of 24 for 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. But if you make 3 bad decisions or even 2 bad decisions that lead to interceptions, that could be a loss. So it's real important, like the leaders of the team, the quarterback's got to be great and productive, but they also got to make great decisions.
Manage the ball. How much of the learning curve in a week like this goes into quite simply watching film on the Elks and what they do defensively?
It's been a short week for us, so we've really had to make sure the guys are seeing enough film of the opponent. Anything else, you're preparing against the things they do very well, but we're also concerned about doing our things as good as possible. So Edmonton's a really good defense, really good skill players on offense, a really good running back. We've got to make sure we do the things we need to do to win the game.
Red Blacks head coach Paul Appelese is our guest. Coach, I just want to go back to your point of, hey, listen, you can have a great game, but you have to avoid mistakes. How do you counter that, though, in their mind where you don't want these guys playing afraid as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, we want them to take as many shots downfield. We want them to, if we run a special play, run as many special plays, all that. You know, all you just try to say is, hey, if you don't have a great vision of it, if you don't, we're never going to say don't take the one-on-one downfield, don't take the matchup you want. But, you know, if you're blind and you can't see, you just don't throw a football up. Or if you, if you don't think you can get it over the top of the linebacker, well, you've got other people you can throw to. So, you know, there's certain times where the picture, as we tell the guys, certain times the picture is like, oh, there it is, touchdown, right? Go ahead and throw it. Or one-on-one situation, take it. Take the one-on-one and throw it up. We did it yesterday in practice. And, you know, but you also just want to say, listen, but when it's not clean, you can't see it, right? Just wait till we get another situation where we get a clean shot to take the push the ball downfield or do whatever we need to do.
Can you give us a health update on your two starters, Dom Davis and Matt Nichols?
We think Dom's going to be, you know, we'll see how Matt is today, but Dom is going to be long term. Yeah, so Dom will be multiple weeks.
Do you feel like the receiver group is even a little further along, some of the new guys that came in with another week under their belt?
Yeah, I think all the guys, you know, like that, you know, have been around here a little bit, you know, are starting to understand systems-wise and information-wise.
There's nothing that stinks more in professional sports than losing. It's really, really hard. I understand that, and it's hardest on a coach. Your team has lost 5 games in a row, and the last thing you want is your players to check out of the hotel. So what do you feel like the demeanor of your team is right now?
Here's the thing I think is important for everybody to realize, and we try to realize, and we talk about all the time, is like, you know, the game is the game, and once the game is over, the best part of pro football is you had an opportunity to play again, right? Now, we understand in this envelope we're in, like, of pro sports, like, when you get hit with a loss, it hits you, it stings, and it's terrible, and it feels awful. You have 24 hours to figure it out, talk about what you got to do. Hopefully you learn from your losses, okay? And then now you get yourself in a position where you get to play again. So I think the biggest lesson for the guys always is just to make sure they understand that, okay, you have a new opportunity, new game, go do the things to win football games. So that's our message here from week to week is just, you know, once we learn from the mistakes, right, let's go back out and make sure we, you know, flush the last game and move on to a new opportunity, a new opponent.
Do you ever have to get a pat on the back at home? I'm only saying that because I've lived it in a sense of everyone looks for you as the leadership, and your vibe coming back of having to regroup is so important, I'm sure, for everyone you work with, including all the players.
Yeah, you know, again, I try to be as consistent as we can, whether we've won the game or lost the game. And I think that's what's important for players to understand that, you know, we have to come back in, learn from our mistakes, but then just keep working at our crafts, working at getting better, doing the things that winning teams do and making sure what we do in practice translates to the field.
The good news, if there is any to be found in a 5-game losing streak, is that your defense played hard throughout the last game, right till the end, despite the fact that, you know, it didn't look like it was going to be a very close game. And I think the special teams and the kicking game has been pretty much excellent the entire year. So 2/3 of the phases of your team have actually been pretty good. Do you draw any optimism from that?
Well, yeah, and even, you know, we've moved the ball real well in the BC game a couple of weeks ago. You know, but we just got to get, you know, all three phases working at the same time. That's how you win football games. So that's what we need to do. And, you know, the thing we're trying to also educate is, you know, we've got one win. There's multiple teams in the Canadian Football League, and the team we're about to face has 2 wins. So it's not, you know, like I get we've had multiple losses in a row, but like there's multiple teams in the CFL that have 2 wins, which is just one more than us. Let's just go win a game this week, and then, you know, then we worry about the next game.
Other than a new name, what do you see out of the Elks so far this year?
You know, I see the one of the things that sticks out is when you watch their film is, boy, they do a great job of running the football, you know, and, you know, when anytime you have a big back, it's tough to tackle. It's you really got to, you know, you're trying to create second and long opportunities, and it's sometimes hard with a big back. Really good receivers, and, you know, defensively, they've done a great job limiting completions and limiting explosive plays and rushing the passer. They've done a really good job.
And lots of familiar faces to Ottawa football fans. They're like Red Blacks West these days, the Elks. Good stuff.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right. Appreciate the time. Good luck tomorrow, Coach.
Yep. Take care.
All right. There's Paul Appelese, head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks, joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza is the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators.
Man, I don't miss working for teams that suck, Jer. It honestly, though, it's so hard, man. And you know, I had different bosses from David Poile to George McPhee to John Ferguson Jr., a little bit of Cliff Fletcher. And it's just really interesting because for David, he wore it on his sleeve and he couldn't hide it, right? So how that affects everybody you're working with down to your coaching staff and your players. And that's hard for a coach, right? I mean, you can't be fake energy, like skipping into the room like everything's great. But man, if you get so wrapped up in this and it just sucks the life out of everybody else, right? And everyone starts to get nervous about their job. And that's just really tough. And I've lived it and it just absolutely consumes you, man. It's hard to break it when you go home.
And he mentioned... you have another game coming up, and that's true. But in football, you got to wait a week. The great thing about, you know, sports like baseball and hockey and basketball is you usually have a game coming up within a couple of days. So when they say flush it, you can flush it because you're right back in the middle of another game.
Yeah.
In football, you know, sometimes it can be as long as two, but for the most part, it's, you know, you're looking at the Red Blacks. It's going to be 6 days between games. That's a long time to be waiting around to be able to flush something.
I agree. Now, also, I'll say when you suck in hockey, you have to do it 80 times. At least when I suck in football, it's only 14 games. I don't know. But I know what you're also saying. When you know you have a good team and you're going to come out of it, you want to get right back at it, right? Yep. That's the part where you're at with the Red Blacks. So you're not so sure you got a very good team.
Well, man, always, you know. I'm interested to see how these rookie quarterbacks are. It's baptism by fire. It has the potential, and I understand the coach, you know, should be and has to be optimistic. But boy, it's more often than not that it is usually pretty ugly with rookie quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks playing a new style of football. And I don't care how much you're mirroring in practice and watching stuff from the sidelines. It's another thing when you step into the middle of it all. We'll see. The quarterbacking is, anybody that's watching the games, the quarterbacking has not been up to snuff this year here in Ottawa. So I can't sit here and say, well, it can't get any worse. It's just new faces. New faces. We'll see you tomorrow night. One of either Caleb Evans or Taryn Christian will be your starting quarterback tomorrow night for the Ottawa Red Blacks, taking on Edmonton at 7:30 and here on TSN 1200. Don't forget to leave or sage. We'll have a special Monday night edition of the Red Blacks radio show coming up tonight at 6:00 to get you set for tomorrow night's game against the Elks. All right, 7:39. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get back into hockey. We'll talk about the Sens exhibition win last night over the Jets. Who impressed you? By the way, share your thoughts. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN 1200. Phone lines open at 750-1200. We'll get the thoughts of Dave Poulin, our NHL insider, will start us up with us today after 8 o'clock. Look forward to that. Coming up right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 7:45 on this Monday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer Dave Poulin will join us, our NHL insider, coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. Congratulations, by the way, way back when gave away those Beat the Box Office tickets for Billy Talent coming to town to TD Place, April the 4th, 2022. So that's a concert. In other words, you got to wait essentially an entire NHL regular season through. That's how long that's... But regardless, look forward to it. Live music being back. Matt Pennett was the 20th caller. And Matt has won a pair of Beat the Box Office tickets. We'll give away tickets all this week here on TSN 1200. And again, tickets will go on sale for the show through tdplays.ca coming up on Friday morning. All right, we'll get some NFL and some Jays here in just a second. Let's go back to last night's Sens game as they took on the Winnipeg Jets in the exhibition opener. They won the game in the regular hockey game in overtime, thanks to Shane Pinto. Then Shane Pinto scored again because both teams agreed, hey, let's do a shootout. Let's practice a shootout as well. So Pinto scores in the shootout. Winnipeg gets a goal as well. I think it was Pierre-Luc Dubois, I believe, got the goal. Anyway, it's 1-1. They go to a fourth round. Winnipeg misses. So...
Here's Brännström moving in. Cuts to the forehand. Delays, drag. Scores! Brännström gets it in behind Comrie on about the 17th move. So the Senators win the game in overtime and then win the for-fun shootout.
There you go. Erik Brännström with a pretty nice move to deke out Comrie in the Winnipeg net and provide the shootout winner as well as Ottawa wins twice
Yeah, and I thought so far in training camp, Branstrom's looked good, JR. Again, the down-low play, never the biggest guy in the world, but looks a little stronger, super assertive. And, hey, when he hops into the play, walks the line, does things offensively, certainly a very gifted player. So I'm real curious on the back end here to see how this plays out with Delzato in particular. Not as much Holden, but if I was doing a top six right now, he would certainly be in it.
Talking about Branstrom.
Yes.
The Delzato one is, for me, is, and again, full cards on the table here. I didn't watch any Columbus last year, so I have no idea. It can only go on sort of the report.
Well, that's on you that you didn't watch all their games.
So, I can only go by, as I think it was Pierre McGuire that said, right, that this guy was one of their best defensemen last year in what was a down year. But I'm curious to see if this is not going to be another situation like we saw last year to start the year in which guys were brought in and just didn't have it anymore.
Yeah,
any longer.
Again, and people said, hey, it's only one scrimmage when you're scouting, JR. That's all you can do. And like I said, Sokolov a week ago, I didn't think it was very good. I've updated my scouting report since. When I watched Delzato the other day, first of all, we're not talking about a 6'4 defenseman. He's a 6-footer. He's a third-pairing guy. I don't know, man. I'm not seeing a whole lot from mobility. He's one of those guys that's pretty good at directing traffic and telling everybody else what to do. But it's early on in training camp. But, yeah, I do wonder where that's going to go, because as I said, his plus minus, he played in the third pairing on a bad hockey team. We'll see where the rest of training camp goes, and that's all you do. And the other part, to make it clear to people, every time, and there's a bunch of staff here, not as many as normal for Ottawa, but every time you have a scrimmage, JR, you go down to the war room and you rate the players, right? I mean, it's not, hey, you do it. Now, it can change as camp goes on, but it's not like you don't sit there and say, oh my god, that guy's unbelievable, or like George McPhee, come over to me and say, hey, do you think Lang would quit, or can you get Ulf Dahlin to quit? Like, that was if you don't think the NHL people react on the first day, JR, you've never been
so
in the war room.
So NHL general managers are just like Twitter.
Oh.
You can't get rid of players fast enough?
Oh, you'll see a guy, and sometimes you just know. Like, you just know. You know, when we traded for Trevor Lynn, and I asked George, I said, is Trevor this malnourished when you had him in Vancouver? He was just a shell of himself. George
get that man some oatmeal.
George didn't like that very much because Trevor was his boy, but he just wasn't there. And it's amazing. You get into a practice, and again, things can change. But there are some times where you sit and say, "Ooh, wow, you know what? I'm not really feeling that one." And unfortunately, there's been a long line of that here in Ottawa, especially on the back end.
Well, if Delzato doesn't work, and again, he and Zaitsev have been spoken of as the so-called shutdown pair for Ottawa. So it's Shabbat and Zub, and then it's Delzato and Zaitsev as the shutdown pair, and then it's some mix of Mete, Holden, Branstrom, and Brown. Those are the other four that probably are in the running to start on opening night.
Here's first of all, Zub and Shabbat are going to be on real, JR. Like, I mean that so sincerely. The problem, again, back to Mathot and Carlson, but the part when you look at a guy like Zaitsev, and I'll recognize a positive, plays hard, skates well, can be a real effective player in spots. Now, what does he need as a partner? He needs a very capable person that can get him out of trouble, because puck skills are not his strength, right? He can get a bit chaotic. He needs a guy that can settle him down. I don't think there's any circumstance so far where Delzato can do that. Who's the guy that has some wheels and could do that would be Mete. To me, that's automatically my pairing. And then the other one, I'd end up going Holden with Branstrom. And I don't think Brown has looked bad so far. We'll see who get into camp.
Yeah.
But I would actually go with Holden and Branstrom on the right side. That's the way it would stack up. And the part for Ottawa this year, though, you can't go 10 games in with a guy like Delzato. And I'm not writing him off, but anybody can't waste time this year. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, well, now we realize that, some guys can't play and we'll put Zub in. You got to figure this out through training camp. And if it's not working, that's fine. Tuck him as a seventh guy, but that's just my early thought.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. So we'll see. I mean, they have six more exhibition games. The other thing that's going to be interesting as it plays itself out is the second line center position, right? The much debated. I didn't think that Shane Pinto did anything last night that wouldn't dissuade me from saying he's ready to play in the National Hockey League. And again, you're playing against half a team in Winnipeg. It's the first exhibition game. But every time the guy played at the end of last year, the reports from early on in training camp this year and then his play last night, like, he just continues to look like an NHL player to me. Like the goal, the goal in, it's 3-on-3. I understand that, but very nice snipe. And then the one in the shootout was very beautiful, right? Like, that was just that is not a nervous, I'm just starting in the National Hockey League player play. That was a guy who was fully confident, like, I'm going to zip this right between your legs, good buddy, and you're not going to do anything about it.
Well,
that's
I also,
exactly what he did.
That top of the circle, which we've seen in overtime with a lot of guys, that quick change of direction where you think the thing guy thinks you're actually doing a drop pass, right? Carlson was unbelievable at it, where you do a little shimmy and then all of a sudden you go the other way. The part with him, JR, is that he's so complete and mature that if the pace in the offense is there, it's going to be real difficult. And how do you kind of handle Tierney? And again, I'll kind of go back to as well. You don't want to roll through all a training camp and then realize, well, Pinto should be playing with Stutzla and Brown. Do you know what I mean? Where, hey, give Tierney a chance. And I thought he looked decent, you know, the practice that I was at, a couple practices. But, yeah, you're going to have to decide pretty quickly. And it's a nice problem to have. But the thing that's different with him is that he's so complete that if you feel like he can also do things offensively, boy, you could make a strong argument. Why bother sending him to Belleville?
Robert tweets at us on Pinto, number two center all day. This talk of Tierney in that spot is ridiculous. From Morgan, I'm a Leafs fan, and man, Pinto looks good. There's a couple of reactions coming in after the game last night.
Yeah, if I was to lay out a center ice chair, personally, how I'd start the season, and I also don't want to look past Tierney because I also believe last year being injured, I'm not sure he gets quite enough respect. People kind of talk about him like he's Derek Stepan. Hey, he had a couple of years ago 48 points. Like, he's been a good NHL player. But what I would do, now, you got to be the salary cap floor, but what would my center ice look like opening night? I'm going Norris, Pinto, either Paul or White in the three spot, and I'd actually have Kostelec playing with probably Sanford and Watson as my mega big crash line, and then throw Formanton with Paul and White would be my third line.
All right. Well, we'll see. Next game is coming up Wednesday. First exhibition game at home. Toronto Maple Leafs in town. Sens, by the way, are off today. Back at practice tomorrow. I am assuming at some point we'll see new guy Zach Sanford as well, coming over from St. Louis in the Logan Brown trade. Now, Ridly Gregg turned some heads last night with his first period goal. Very slick play. Skate to stick to top corner on the backhand. Guy's 19 years old. Then gets thrown out of the game for a very veteran cross-check to the face. Pierre-Luc Dubois, here's DJ Smith on our post-game show on the play of his 19-year-old center.
For your first game, you score a goal, you know, you get involved. You know, obviously the future's bright for him. He can skate, he can make plays. He's a competitive kid, so, you know, it looks like we got ourselves a really good player.
I had thought when they took him out there, out to Winnipeg, that they would just leave him there and he would drive to Brandon and resume his junior career, but there was no talk of that I read or saw. That is going to be the case at all. I think Ridly Gregg is going to get, because he's proven he's close. He's going to get some games, some more games throughout the exhibition schedule.
Yeah, and, you know, no problem with that. Now, personally, I would end up sending him back to JR because he's going to go to junior. But, hey, right now, you got lots of games. You got lots of competition. I just don't see any way you slice it that he's going to be here and he should benefit. But, hey, like I said, nothing wrong with going through training camp and watching that last night. And how do you think he's going to get suspended? Is he not?
I would think so.
Dubois
was able to come back. Might have been down a couple of chiclets. Yeah. Not quite sure on that one.
15 stitches.
Was it? Okay. Yeah that was, listen, if that was, you twisted around, and if you are a Jets fan, you aren't very happy about that at all. And if you're Pierre-Luc Dubois, you're especially not very happy. So flip it around, and I think there'd be a lot of people that would go, that's a suspension all day.
Yeah.
I think so. It's a cross-check. It's a full cross-check to the face. That's a suspension.
I don't know if there was a cross-section or Dad used to show Shane Corson. I thought that was very Shane Corson-esque.
Corson-esque?
Yeah, very veteran move. Kind of in training camp, the veteran guy usually does that to the rookie.
Right.
Where, hey, I really don't have any interest in you body checking me, so here's a little bit of lumber in your face.
Of course, the other question still to be determined is what, if anything, is going on with Brady Tkachuk? He remains unsigned by the Sens. TSN's Darren Dreger was our NHL insider during our pregame show last night, and here's the latest on that.
There is no deal that is close at this point. That's not to say that it can't happen very swiftly, but I think when you get to this stage in the negotiation, everybody knows what the lines are, right? Ottawa prefers a certain amount of term, a long term. They know what they like in terms of the money. They don't like giving up the bonus money. So the structure of the contract has been a back and forth, to be sure. But you got to wonder how long one side or the other starts pushing towards a shorter term. I don't think they're quite there yet.
All right. You can hear Darren's interview in its entirety, by the way, on our website at tsn1200.ca. But he, like most right now, it appears like everything is in a waiting pattern on Tkachuk. Again, the Sens, last time we heard from Pierre Dorion, continue to say that things are positive and heading in the right direction. But there were a lot of rumors. You were out at the rink on Friday, right, that a deal was going to look like it was going to get done on the weekend. Well, the weekend has come and gone, and there is no deal. So he remains unsigned. And I don't know who took the picture, but I saw that Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, the other two unsigned restricted free agents who Brady Tkachuk has been skating with, were both at the University of Michigan football game. And somebody took a picture of the two of them in their Wolverines gear. So I don't know if Brady was the camera guy there or what's going on. But the latest word is he remains skating in Michigan with the two Vancouver unsigned players.
It makes sense. And Quinn played a year or two at Michigan, right?
Two, I think.
Yeah. Two. You know, and Brady Tkachuk. And hey, Dreg's way more plugged in than I am, JR. Got over a million followers. But can we agree this is kind of what I said 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
You know, and again, I guess I haven't always worded what my source and everything is, but this is the issue. First of all, I've done negotiations. I've been in the room. If you are having talks, and I know how things work, and you sit down, Jerry, and you say, listen, hey, we've been going at this a while. Let's get something done for training camp. When you get into training camp, and this is a priority for the Ottawa Senators, like I said, Thursday, and there's still time, JR, but this idea, and you want to keep it positive, of course, but if it was super positive, and the time Pierre Dorion came on 3 weeks ago because of what I had said made it sound like they were going to get a deal done before training camp, did he not?
Well, he said that. He was asked and said yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, again, that's the whole thing I have here. And again, what Dreg says is what I also say. Hey, a deal can be done at any minute, but hey, this is really getting into some pressure time here. And now you start to wonder, and the whispers are now, well, I think he'll get something done. It might be some bonus money. Talked to a prominent agent on Friday. He said it's all about structure. I will follow up today with him and talk about it. And there was also kind of the thought, you know, this will turn into a 5 or 6 year deal. Six, I don't have an issue with. Five, I think, is a win with the player. Would you agree, JR?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that only buys you 1 year of restricted. That's Auston Matthews, especially if he gets the money he wants.
Exactly. So, but again, you know, just really summarizing. Like I said, you're now into no longer, hey, we're having great talks, and this is like Rambo 15. We've had 10 positive meetings. Hey, like I said, everything with Newport Sports is positive. You got to get a deal done, and I mean that for both sides. Yeah.
All right, Dave Bullen will join us. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on with Tkachuk and on the Sens game last night and everything else NHL-related. Dave will join us in about 10 minutes or so from now. But it is time to see if we can give away $1,000 as part of our TSN $1,200,000 Minute. If you'd like to play the game, text us right now. We'll take lucky texter number 70, Brady Tkachuk times 10. All right, texter number 70 at 12-1200. Standard messaging rate supply. All we need is your first and last name and your ability to pick up the phone and play for $1,000. We'll do it next on TSN 1200.
TSN 1200's $1,000 Minute.
All right, ready to go with our contestant this morning. How you doing, Tom?
Doing great there, guys. How you doing?
Excellent. Thank you very much. Nice weekend.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Okay. Sports and all that stuff.
There you go. Did you spend some money?
Sure.
All right. Do you need to make some money to pay off whatever you spent it on the weekend?
Absolutely.
Let's see what we can do. You're playing for $1,000 right now, Tom, our TSN $1,200,000 Minute. So I got 10 questions. You got 60 seconds. You go 10 for 10. We're going to give you $1,000. We'll give you $10 per correct answer. Here are the rules. I need all of your answers by the time the 60-second buzzer goes. I need to accept your first full, complete answer. And if you want to, you can pass on a question. If there's time, we'll go back to it. All right?
Sounds good.
All right, Tom, good luck. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. Where did the Jets move to Winnipeg from?
Atlanta.
True or false, the Red Blacks and Edmonton have played each other in a Grey Cup?
False.
Who is the head coach of the Golden State Warriors?
Pass.
Name any NFL team that's still unbeaten.
Pass.
Which American had the most points at this weekend's Ryder Cup?
DJ.
True or false, Shane Pinto was a first-round draft pick?
False.
Who leads the Jays in RBI this year, Vladdy or Teoscar?
Vladdy.
Who has won the Super Bowl more recently, the Niners or the Packers?
Packers.
Who led the Sens in goals last season?
Connor Brown.
Who hit the World Series winning home run for the Jays the last time they won?
Joe Carter.
Who is the head coach of the Golden State Warriors?
No clue. Pass.
All right. Let's see how you did, Tom. I don't think we'll we don't have 1,000. You passed on a question. Let's see if we can pay off some of those weekend debts. The Jets moved to Winnipeg from Atlanta. You got that right. Red Blacks and Edmonton did play in a Grey Cup. Remember the footing was really bad, yeah. Yeah. Steve Kerr is the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, 3-time champion. Name any team that's still unbeaten. You could have gone with Denver, Vegas, Arizona, the Rams, or Carolina there. Which American had the most points of this weekend? You got that one right. DJ, true or false, Shane Pinto was a first-round pick. Nope, he's the first pick of the second round. So you got that right. Who leads the Jays in RBI? It's actually Teoscar Hernandez. Yeah, who won the Super Bowl more recently? Yeah, Packers is correct. Connor Brown scored the most goals for the Sens last year. Correct. Joe Carter hit the World Series winning home run for the Blue Jays the last time they won. What do we got for our friend Tom?
$60
Tom. How's that sound, Tom?
I'll take that.
Yeah, take that for a Monday. Absolutely. Congratulations. Way to go.
Thanks, bud.
All right, thanks for listening. Have a great day. All right. Oh, hang on. You got the information? Okay, sorry about that. All right, we got to take a break. I'm way late, as always. Top of the hour news and sports update. We'll run down the entire scoreboard for you. And then it's the return of our 8 a.m. NHL Insider. We welcome Dave Poulin to the show coming up next on TSN 1200.